Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
I'm glad the season's back. We're on a hopefully another 9-month journey.
What are we playing for?
Bucks up 3-1-2-3.
It's going to be a long process. It's going to be a long season, but it starts now.
2,000 years long, we will never settle. Hard days, no way, we're the heavy metal.
Can you give us a sneak preview of what you're going to be bringing us this year?
You'll see on opening night.
We have 100 games in front of us. The best player in the world is the last man standing. Three-pointer.
Welcome to NBA Today. Presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
One more day, just one more sleep. The NBA season is just about here, and I, for one, cannot wait. So welcome to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. I'm Malika Andrews. We have a full house today. Richard Jefferson, Chinee Agumake, Mark Spears, Zach Lowe, and Kendrick Perkins. Richard, what was your favorite subject in school?
Recess. On brand.
Yeah, I mean, I figured. P.E.?
P.E. and recess.
Lunch? Okay.
Yeah,
this will surprise none of you. Did you know Zach Lowe was actually an English teacher?
No, yeah. History.
History teacher. He was a history teacher,
sense.
So I should get that right. But today, I get to play English teacher because English was my favorite subject in school. So did you guys ever do this in English, the who, what, when, where, why exercise? Y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Richard was at recess. So we're going to do that now to start the NBA season. So how this is going to work, I'd like each of you to please take a category, and we are going to start with, I love that I have a whiteboard for this. This makes me happy. Chinee Agumake.
Yes.
The who of the NBA season.
So who is going to win MVP this year? I feel like every time a new season starts, it's an open slate for someone to start strong and insert themselves into the conversation. And if you look at the odds, do you know who's number one in the odds?
Who?
Luka Doncic. Luka Doncic, number one. Giannis, two for MVP winner. And then three, Embiid, if you think about that big three. It's going to be fascinating because the Mavs, if they can pick up where they finish the season, mind you, that's the Western Conference Finals, Luka Doncic can absolutely be MVP. And everyone knows his talent deserves that. The question is, will his team propel him into that position? Because typically, apart from Jokic, top one or two in your conference wins MVP. Now we move to Giannis. I mean, like, y'all, we all know Giannis can win it. MVP as well. But the question is, when he becomes three-time MVP, what does that put him in the category of? Like, Dr. J, like, how do we feel about people transitioning into the greatness of the top three or so, you know, three-time winners, four-time winners, five-time winners. And lastly, Embiid. Joel Embiid, I mean, it's almost like he's always been the runner-up the last few years, and it's almost feels like it's his time. The more healthy he gets, the better that the Sixers get, you feel like his chances improve. So those are the big three per the odds. I'm not sure who I'm siding with just yet, but I'm excited to see who will be MVP.
So that's the who of the season as we head towards tomorrow.
All the top players.
What are you talking about? Okay.
That.
Well, I was just
you
got it.
And didn't make a pick.
Yeah, that's what I said. And didn't say anybody.
On brand.
That's, yeah, exactly.
Yeah, this is
on brand.
We're starting exactly where we left off.
Exactly.
So that brings us to what it's who, what, Richard Jefferson. What's the what of the NBA season?
Ah, the what. Wow, you guys sprung this on me. I wasn't good at pop quizzes. What? What? Thank you, Greg. What will teams do to get Victor Wembanyama? Yeah, that's going to be a fun watch because it's going to start pretty much now. You saw teams trading away players during the summer. You saw teams, you've seen what happened in Utah. You've seen what happened in San Antonio. All of these teams are preparing for a very, very subpar season. season, to say the least. But I'm very, very curious to watch it as this progresses. As the season, if a team doesn't play well, their star player gets injured, they're going to just ship everything out of there and make sure that they're in that bottom four.
You know how we always have monikers for, like, tanking? The one we decided last week was losing club for V-Dub. It's hard
like
to do Wembanyama. Drama for
I'm
thumbs down.
You don't like losing club for V-Dub?
I like
no.
It.
Well, now you know what the rule is. Now you're gonna have to come up
I'm
with a
better
one.
I'm not doing it on live television.
No, we'll let you have it. You're here all week.
Beat up, right?
We'll let you come up with it. All right, Mr. Mark Spears.
Yes,
then
ma'am.
The next one is the where. Where? What where question do we have for the NBA season?
Where will the Suns be?
Oh.
Suns.
That's a really good question. I was there in media day, and people gave me some heat for being really sad. It was a sad place. But things have gotten better. Like, the dust is settling on Sarver, right? Monty Williams and DeAndre Ayton, they're in a good place now. What's the problem with the Suns? Why do I think they'll be fourth or fifth? The bench. You take Jay Crowder away, right? And you put Cam Johnson in the starting lineup. There's no more JaVale McGee. What is their bench? So what Monty's going to do now is he's going to have to keep at least probably two starters on the floor at all times, when last season he could do one at a time. Their bench is pretty weak. We'll see what happens after Jay gets traded. But right now, I'm really nervous for the Suns starters, because they're going to have to push up their minutes for them to rise.
Interesting. Okay, so now that brings us to the history teacher among us. But why, Zach Lowe?
You gave me the heavy one. Like, why? Why are we even here?
It's very existential.
Why are we throwing a ball?
Oh, nihilistic already. I love it.
Why can't this be the year that the cursed second sisters of the NBA, the Brooklyn Nets and the Los Angeles Clippers, finally break the curse? Every time it feels like something good is going to happen to one of these teams, somebody gets injured, a sinkhole opens in the earth, someone else gets injured, someone demands a trade, another person demands a trade. Why can't this be the year? In Brooklyn, we all know why. It's like everything, the whole thing that's happened there. Will they run for the exits at the first sign of adversity? Can they defend anybody in their small lineup? With the Clippers, this big two plus a whole lot of depth model is really unusual in the NBA. And when it works, it's usually because the big two are two, like, of the top 8 or 10 guys in the NBA. Kawhi's coming off a year off. Paul George has been injured a lot. Are those guys still at that level? And then who is the third and fourth guys? Who really pops, so it's not just those two guys and a bunch of pretty good players? Is that enough? But this year, it's going to happen once for one of these teams. Is this going to be the year? Why not, I say?
Why not, you say? Well, let's see what Professor Perkins says. I want to bring Big Perk in here for the when, Big Perk. When?
Well, when is the month of Neverwary, okay? Neverwary. They will never figure it out. That's when.
That?
And let me explain why, okay? And I'm talking about the Lakers, okay? The Lakers will never figure it out when it comes down to the Russell Westbrook situation, whether that's bringing him in off the bench or whatever the case may be. I had a weekend to think about the Lakers after they got smacked in their last preseason game by the Sacramento Kings. And I understand it's preseason, but to get the spanking that they got, Russell Westbrook went out due to a hamstring injury. It's time to address the elephant in the room, okay? And the elephant in the room is that it's just not going to work with Russ, okay? I think the relationship is pretty much over. Darvin Ham is trying his best, but at the end of the day, I think this Laker roster, the way that it is currently constructed, and I love the Patrick Beverley addition, but Russell Westbrook is not going to be in full acceptance of this six-man role for us with the Lakers. He wasn't bought here to embrace that. He's getting paid a lot of money. So I don't think it's never going to happen. And I think Rob Pelinka needs to make sure that while he still has time before it gets too late in the season, that he needs to readjust this roster a little bit more and probably get Russ up out of there, to be honest with you.
I couldn't agree with you more, Perk.
Oh, really?
That's it. Oh, okay, well, look, now that the substitute teacher is here, we've done all of the questions. I have one for Miss Laker fan over here.
Wow.
Whoa.
How?
Is this because I'm wearing yellow?
Yeah.
Is that where that
I know
that
Warriors
came
are yellow, too. Just take the shot.
Okay, well, if I am taking how, the how question has to be, how are the Warriors paying everybody?
Hey, that's a great question.
Well,
I feel like.
Yes, we can do that. You are world champion. You are, and you are about to get a bag.
You about to get a bag.
No. You about to get a bag.
We about to get a bag.
We about to get a bag.
So that was way back on June 16th after the Warriors beat the Celtics in Game 6 to win their fourth title in the last 8 years. And then on Saturday, Jordan Poole agreed to a four-year, $140 million extension. So here's Poole on the deal.
It was amazing. It was truly, truly special, and I couldn't stop smiling. I really tried to stop smiling, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. And, you know, there'll be adversity. You just got to have faith. Have confidence, and self-belief will take you a very long way. You know, obviously you mix that in with hard work and an open mindset, you know, and anything is possible. But it was a very, very special, life-changing moment. I was able to be appreciative and show gratitude.
So Joe Lacob wasn't done spending his Boku bucks. The Warriors, they inked Andrew Wiggins to a four-year, $109 million extension. That's according to Woj and Kendra Andrews. The deal, which includes a player option in the final year, ties Wiggins to the Warriors for 5 years and $143 million. So here's General Manager Bob Myers on the financial commitment Golden State is making.
I'm well aware of what the numbers are, but what I would say to everyone is that that's next season, and this is this season, and we can't play next season now. If you would ask me a year ago today if we would be paying Poole and Wiggins this, I would have probably not believed you. I can't evaluate what we're going to do next offseason until we see what happens this season, and whatever it is, it is. And I just know this, that there's a huge commitment to winning. There always has been. I imagine there always will be, and I'm lucky to be in a group that believes that. Their actions prove it. So we'll see what happens this season and go from there.
So when Poole and Wiggins extensions kick in next season, the Warriors' salary and luxury tax commitments, they will be over $500 million, most likely. That's according to our own Bobby Marks. And that's assuming that Draymond Green opts in to his $27.6 million player option. Now, the Warriors, they would have a projected $483 million in salary and tax, just 12 players so far under that scenario. So now we are joined by senior NBA insider Adrian Wojnarowski. Woj, we're going to get to the rookie extension deadline at 6 p.m. Eastern today in just a little bit, but I want to stay in Golden State for now. In light of Andrew Wiggins and Jordan Poole's extensions, is Draymond Green's long-term future any clearer for the Warriors?
And look, I know people want to believe that it's there's some want to believe that it's one or the other, that they wouldn't necessarily be able to keep all three. And I don't think that's the case. Now, for Draymond Green with that $27.5 million option next season, almost assuredly he's going to exercise that. I'm not sure that that money is going to be in a long-term deal in his mid-30s available in the marketplace. But listen, 2 years left on his deal, and there can be room for an extension at the end of those 2 years or a new deal that probably is south of that $27.5, $28 million, perhaps maybe isn't a raise off of that. But if the Warriors are winning and Draymond is still a highly productive player and wants to be there, I don't think it means that his future, that his days are necessarily numbered in Golden State. And I think, you know, as Bob Myers said in the clip previously there, Joe Lacob has shown a willingness to spend deeper into luxury tax than anyone ever has in this league. And so I think there is a lot of time left for the Warriors and Draymond Green to make that decision. But certainly, I think the opt-in on his contract next summer is probably the most likely scenario.
Okay, so you also reported that Houston Rockets guard Kevin Porter Jr. agreed to a contract extension today. What are the details surrounding his extension?
Yeah, like a unique contract structure, first year guaranteed, and then triggers along the way that can get him to that 4 years, $82.5 million. This is a player who, listen, a late first-round pick who nobody has questioned Kevin Porter's talent. It's been his ability to adapt in the NBA, I think his coping skills, his maturity and growth, and I think Houston has liked what they've seen from him in the last year, certainly on the court at the end of last season, averaging, you know, 27.5, 7 assists, 7.5 rebounds a game. You know, this is certainly a very talented player. And I think you've seen the work that specifically Steven Silas, the Rockets coach, you saw how emotional he got today when he heard Porter Jr. talk about the idea that the Rockets may have saved his life. And so, listen, I think this is a win-win for both sides. I think there's certainly plenty of motivation for Kevin Porter Jr. to continue his growth, his maturity as a leader, as one of the key kind of young components of this Rockets rebuild. And I think it's certainly a contract for the Rockets, you know, that they may very well get the full value of, because this is a player who has shown he can be a frontline NBA playmaker and score.
You said it, Woj. I really loved that moment when Steven Silas was asked about him being a part of the Rockets organization and that organization saved his life. It was really touching to watch that happen. While we're talking extensions, though, can you outline what else can happen before we cross the rookie extension deadline today at 6 Eastern?
Yeah, there's a bunch of players still in talks with their agents, in talks with teams on extensions. DeAndre Hunter in Atlanta, Grant Williams in Boston, P.J. Washington in Charlotte, Rui Hachimura in Washington. Those are all among the players that are still discussing rookie extensions before that 6 p.m. Eastern deadline. And those players, whoever does sign that extension, certainly avoids restricted free agency next summer. And so we've had a bunch, Brandon Clark over the weekend, and certainly Jordan Poole, Kevin Porter Jr. earlier, and now you know, several significant, you know, I think, rookie extension class of 2019 players who are still discussing, and many of those talks will go right up to that 6 o'clock Eastern deadline.
And for now, we wait to see which can be completed by 6 o'clock. Woj, thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today. Yeah. Still ahead, there will be plenty of All-Stars debuting on new teams this week, but who is going to make the biggest impact this season? And the Bucks, they were relatively quiet this offseason, but will that prevent them from making noise in the playoffs? I don't think so. Plus, the latest on Zion Williamson's ankle sprain, will it jeopardize him making his return to the floor? Stay tuned. We will have more NBA Today after this.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more.
Welcome back to NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. So this is one of those seasons that's so exciting because it feels like everything is wide open as it's been in years. There were so many questions this year, so many big storylines. It's really hard to narrow it down to just one. But I tried to pick a couple of questions that I think we can all agree we all have our eyes on this season. So one thing, it surrounds the reigning champion. So Chinne Igumike, my question to you is, can Golden State get over what Steve Kerr has called the biggest crises of his tenure and get back to the mountaintop?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. 100%. And, you know, we both worked that last preseason game, and you just saw the future, the next generation of the Warriors show up and show out. Jonathan Kuminga looks amazing. James Wiseman, which might have been the player you circled, How is he going to do reacclimating to the Warriors? He looks great. Pick and roll, finishing, alley-oops, rebounding. And then, of course, you got Moses Moody out there. So if you look at the Warriors overall, yes, there was drama. I think they want to move past it. And their talent and, most importantly, their chemistry is what holds them together. They look just fine.
All right.
They're going to be just fine.
They're going to be all right.
They're going to be all right.
Tanae, thank you. So the Warriors, they added Dante DiVincenzo this offseason, who may prove to be a huge piece off the bench for Golden State. But there were so many players on the move this offseason, so that leads me to my next question. Richard Jefferson, which player on the move is slated to make the biggest impact on it?
Okay, well, really quickly, I want to give all of these guys credits because every GM, in my opinion, that brought in these guys did a damn good job. Look, Rudy Gobert, that guy, you know what he can do. This Tim Legler did a big thing. Is he a difference maker for the Knicks? Is he going to change what they do? No, but he is an upgrade at that position that they needed. Then let's go right here. This was a sneaky one because I truly believe if they had their coach and what he offers for them, the support, the stability, a true point guard on that roster, that'd be big. And then we know with DeJounte Murray, that backcourt. But my number one guy is right here, the Cavs. They were the sneaky team last year, almost had the rookie of the year. They got great defense. When you talk about Jared Allen, they got great bench play. They needed help scoring. That's what they needed. And this guy right here is the number one impact. Why? Because you bring him in, you allow Caris LeVert to go to the bench. Now you've added depth to your bench. And this guy, one of the best in the business, one of the best guys to score. So number one right there, Donovan Mitchell, number one impact.
All right, number one impact, Donovan Mitchell. But I think we can both agree, the Cavs and the Timberwolves, they both seem to just go all in to try to reach contender status. But one contender that really didn't make any moves in the offseason, not a ton. They re-signed a few folks. They brought in Joe Ingles. That leads me to my third thing, and that is Zach Lowe. That the Milwaukee Bucks, did they do enough in the offseason to get back on top?
Giannis is still on the team, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, they did.
Done.
They kept Giannis.
Bada bing, bada boom.
Look, their depth trend's a little old. That makes you nervous. Old, and Joe Ingles is coming off an ACL. That makes you a little nervous. That's the biggest reason for some Bucks skepticism. But as long as they have the big three, and I've heard Chris Middleton, I know he's going to miss part of the start of the season. I don't think it's going to be more than 3 weeks, 4 weeks at the most. I think that's fine. They can live with that. As long as they got the big fella and just enough depth to squeak by, and they still have Connaughton and Bobby Portis and Brooke Lopez, I think they got enough as long as Giannis is there.
As long as Giannis is there and Giannis is healthy. A few injuries to start the season, but it's really hard to bet against the Bucks in the East. Coming up on NBA Today, the latest on Zion Williamson's recovery. Should we expect him to play in the Pelicans season opener against the Nets? Our Andrew Lopez is going to join with an update there. Plus, you know who's in studio with us live? It is one Mr. Ronnie 2K. He's going to respond to player complaints about ratings. And we also have a very special top of the top. What was the best poster dunk of the preseason? Oh, we're going to tell you.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here comes McCready. What a play by T-Man.
Man, that dunk was ridiculous.
He just sucked the gravity right out of the building. What are you doing, Dragic? I want to go higher.
Out the head, look out.
Hello, Amari Stoudemire.
Penn is the team leader, but I'm the choreographer for the Magic Dance.
Penny left quick in the air. Take it off. And I don't believe it.
And a good move. It'll be Zion on the hammer.
That's right. We are just one day away from the start of the regular season. And I know I can't wait to see Zion take the court Wednesday night, hopefully against the Nets. Did y'all see what he did over the weekend back in 2017? Zion, he was then a high school junior. He crossed paths with 5'6" eighth grader Bryson Bishop. And let's just say there was a little bit of a height difference there, right? And then on Friday, nearly 6 years after their viral moment, Zion, they had a little reunion with Bryson Bishop, and they're still clearly a size difference there, but it was a pretty cool moment. And Zion, he even recreated the look that he gave his former rival. I love that. Zion's next opponent is someone more his own size. Here's Kevin Durant on Zion.
excitement, you know, athleticism, somebody that can put up points pretty fast. You know, it's a natural problem for a lot of people. So, I mean, you're saying guys at that size, 6'7", that can get up and down the floor and that can move, but not at that level, though. And I'm not saying they jump as high as Zion, but they were undersized guys that played bigger, you know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? And Zion's one of those guys. I'm missing so many guys that with that tall, 6'6", you know, Charles Barkley, Bruiser-type guys, but play bigger. But Zion athleticism trumps all of theirs by far. And when you add that to the mix, it makes him a one-on-one.
With more on Zion Williamson, we're now joined by our Pelicans reporter, Andrew Lopez. And Andrew, last week, Zion tweaked his left ankle against the Heat. He was listed as day-to-day, but what can you tell us about his status for opening night?
Well, look, I'm just going to tell you what Zion told us just minutes ago. I'm playing Wednesday. That's it. He says he is getting back on the court. He says he feels fine. When we asked him how the ankle was feeling today, he went back to what he said last week after the Miami game when he rolled the ankle. I'm fine. He did get held out of practice on Sunday. He was a full go today, Willie Green said, as the Pelicans are trying to ramp up and get ready for Brooklyn. But again, Zion's words, I'm playing Wednesday.
He is playing Wednesday, so we will see him against Brooklyn. Andrew Lopez, thank you so much. That is exciting news that we're going to get to see Zion. And speaking of excitement, we have something exciting here on NBA Today. So take a look at the top 6 rated players in 2K23, because today we are joined by Ronnie 2K, the face of NBA 2K, to discuss the latest rankings and ratings update. Welcome to the show, Ronnie. Hey. Thank you so much for being here.
I'm so excited to be here. How is everyone?
We're not as good as
I
you.
I know, right?
Because didn't you just get married yesterday?
I got married on Saturday. I've joined the club.
Joined the club. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. And
yeah. Yeah, great. It's the best.
Say it louder, Zach.
The best.
It's the best. So much to discuss here, though, and we have to start with the 2K23 rankings. Tell us about the latest updates here.
Yeah, I mean, right before the season starts, it's about who is that number one guy. Mm. This year, we identified Giannis Antetokounmpo as our number one rating. LeBron has held the mantle for, I think it's like almost 14, 15 years. He's been the highest rated guy at the launch of our game, but somebody has surpassed him. And I think that's very in line with what you guys did at ESPN as well, dropping LeBron a little bit too. So we took a stance, and Giannis is our highest rated player at 97.
Any issues with that, Shanae?
No, not at all. And I think that the last 2 years has been the evolution to getting to this moment because a lot of times we were saying that Giannis is the most dominant player, but now we're all comfortable saying he is the best player, and so this is on point.
We're all comfortable with it except for Giannis, because he's the one who's saying, no, it's Steph, because he was the last one standing at the end of the day. Speaking of the Warriors, though, Klay Thompson recently called you out about his 2K rating. It's not the first time that you've been called out by a player. How does that feel? How do you manage that type of feedback that you get?
So I was asleep because he was in Japan, and so my phone got blown up. And look, Klay is a tremendous basketball player, one of my favorite guys to watch in the league. But one of the biggest things there is like he was mad about having an 88 rating in 2K. It's the current thing, right? So first, you know who he has to actually sort of blame is his own teammate, Stephen Curry, because for the last 10 years, outside of Steph's injury year, he's shot consistently 10% more threes than everybody else. So at some point, the current day rating has to kind of attribute to that, right? Like Steph's rating is a 99. Klay is tied at an 88 as the second highest rating. So at some point, that was going to happen because we had to attribute to the greatness that is Stephen Curry.
Why is it that players care so much about how they're rated?
It's really fascinating. It creates such a conversation on the internet. I mean, I think a lot of it now is like these guys have been playing it forever. Mm-hmm. This is our 24th franchise, 24th installment in the franchise, NBA 2K23. And so a lot of these guys come into the league and that's all they've played. That's all they've ever known. So I think like now it's like getting drafted in the NBA is 1A and being in a video game is 1B. Mm-hmm. I really think it's like that aligned to those guys.
Yeah.
They've learned it as an educational device and something that they love so much, and so that's why I think 2K is so important to them.
Well, and you can see it, right? You see it in them sharing that when they're on covers or what they're ranking it. Like, it is this crazy feedback all the time. What is the craziest thing a player has done maybe to improve their ranking?
We've had some bribing along the way.
Oh!
No, I mean, I've been offered some, like, Grail shoes. I've been offered a variety of things. Here's the thing. Stop offering me anything. You know how you can get your writing better? You know how you can get
play better.
Straight ahead.
Play better.
Play
better?
Play better. Isn't that hard?
I see you have a game console there,
Richard? Yeah. It's a little foreign to me. I'm more of an Xbox guy.
See, the excuses.
Sorry about that.
Excuses. No, there are no excuses. Right off the bat.
As an official
Xbox gamer, guy?
Is there a difference between Xbox and PlayStation?
No.
You're tripping. You're really.
We love our PlayStation.
I love PlayStation. Love Xbox.
Home court advantage right here.
All right. Where's my game at? How do we turn this game on? Turn around.
There it is.
Oh! Let's go.
Wait, is that Kendrick Perkins?
Yeah.
Oh, you're gonna give me Kendrick?
Perkins is playing Richard Jefferson?
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Boy, wait, Perks rating is higher.
Yeah.
Perk is a 77, and Richard is a 75?
Richard.
Okay, now let's take a look at the uniforms.
Yeah,
Cavs. All right, fair enough.
Perk was in his prime. I don't even know. How do we do this?
That was like 2008 Perk versus what?
Okay, you got it? You know
what I got? I got
15 RJ?
Okay. Oh, geez.
I was just making sure.
Look, can we play on this? Now I'll stay and do raps if y'all let me play this game.
A little dance. All right, what you got?
I got nothing.
You going in a circle?
Yeah.
The basket's this way.
I'm just.
Oh, boy.
Is that the voice of Perk that I hear?
Oh, yeah. Look at Perk.
Oh, my God. Perk's
got no speed.
Perk's speed is on. Oh, you don't get Perk there.
Trash.
You heard Perk.
Where are you at, Perk?
There we go. Jump hook in the dough.
You're going to help me out with a little bit of a three-point shot,
the fact.
Friend.
Okay.
Daddy ball.
Oh.
Okay, RJ.
Kill Perk, don't shoot no threes. Let's go. Oh, you don't want no. Oh, that looks like Perk dribbling video.
Let's
see that Perk dribble video again.
Oh, no.
No, air ball.
He didn't have it in his bag.
Air ball.
He didn't have it in his bag.
Yo, I don't know if y'all got me bald enough on this thing. I think.
I don't.
Yeah, I think I see a 5 o'clock shadow.
Oh, you don't.
Come on, RJ.
Oh, no, you're going to be here.
Oh, foul! Can we get a foul?
Like a reach.
Oh, so we're going to get a reach? Play. Okay.
It animated RJ's whining.
Oh, look, he is ice cold. Do you see his
Let's go, Perk.
Blue under
is
his,
that the blue?
Yep. You are ice cold.
Oh, trash.
Good rebound.
Oh, big trash!
Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, my gosh.
Give me those rebounds. Let
All right,
me.
Malika's got to.
He's letting you know.
Will RJ get on the board? Will RJ get on the
board? Is RJ going to get it? Ooh, pump fake. Shoot it, RJ.
3 seconds.
Are you going to shoot, Richard?
Yeah!
I see you're building a brick house.
All right, I'm going to let you all keep playing into the break.
Okay.
We're going to be back after this.
Cash.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by FanDuel Sportsbook.
Wearing number 4 from McNeese State, Joe Dumars. Oh, my. There's some toughness.
That's Joe Dumars. He doesn't say much.
A three-pointer block. It's a great play by Dumars. Dumars does nothing but put the cap on a tremendous performance.
Now welcoming in Hall of Fame player and the NBA's Executive Vice President and Head of Basketball Operations, Joe Dumars. Joe, welcome back to NBA Today.
Thank you. Happy to be back with you guys.
It's always good to have you. We're one day away from the regular season already, but the story that's dominated the offseason, at least in recent weeks, is Draymond Green punching Jordan Poole. And you've mentored Draymond Green since he was in high school, right? Have you spoken to him since this? What have those conversations been like?
I have not yet spoken to him. I wanted to give this some space and all, but you know, obviously it's a very delicate situation, tough situation, not good for anyone. And you just, you know, none of us like seeing that.
Yeah. At what point, Joe, I've heard this question posed to me by several folks. At what point does a team altercation rise to the level of the league's purview?
So, you know, I think, because what you don't want is the league being big brother on everything, especially practices, shoot-arounds, internal issues. You want teams to be able to handle internal issues. They know the issues as well as anyone. We think that Golden State handled this extremely well. We think Joe Lacob and Bob and Steve and those guys did a really good job of handling this. But you really don't want to be big brother on everything. These type of, I don't want to say this happens every day because it doesn't. And I don't want that narrative to be that, oh, this happens every day. But there are issues that happen internally every day with teams. Mm-hmm. And teams have to be in a position to handle those issues without it rising to the level of the league stepping in.
Well, let's talk a little bit about on the court this season, because one of the things that has changed is in July, the NBA Board of Governors approved a heightened penalty for transition take fouls. And last season, there were 1,700 take fouls in 1,200 games. What are you most excited to see change in the game with fewer take fouls?
So let's say it's 500 this year. Let's say it's 500 take fouls that happened this year. That means there's 1,200 more fast break opportunities that we're going to see. And, you know, if you think about the Malika, think about basically 1,000 more fast breaks that you'll see this year. And the athletes that we have in the league today, the things that they can do, I can only imagine what we didn't get to see last year because of the 1,700 take fouls. So I think that's going to be really exciting to have more fast break basketball and less stoppage with plays like transition take foul.
And we saw it a little bit in the preseason. It was fun when players take off, when you can see them explode the way that they were to the rim. It was awesome. Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for spending a little bit of time with us here on NBA Today. I'm sure we will be seeing you down the road this season. And yay, the regular season, it is finally upon us. We will be right back after the break.
NBA Today is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. Make every moment more. And in part by Target. Shop exclusive Black Panther Wakanda Forever at Target.
Welcome back to NBA Today. It's time for Breaking Barriers, brought to you by Target. Today, we put a spotlight on Suns' Morgan Cato, who was hired in June as an assistant general manager and vice president of basketball operations, making her one of the league's highest-ranking women in a NBA front office. Dikembe Mutombo is no stranger to breaking barriers. The Hall of Famer has made a lasting impact on the league and the people of his native continent of Africa. Over the weekend, Mutombo's family released a statement through the NBA saying he started treatment after being diagnosed with a brain tumor. He's receiving the best possible care from a collaborative team of specialists in Atlanta and is in great spirits, the statement continued. Earlier this year, Mark Spears accompanied Mutombo on a trip to Africa. Take a look.
The Houston Rockets select Akeem Olajuwon of the University of Houston.
Hall of Famer Akeem Olajuwon was the first African to play in the NBA.
Akeem Olajuwon! Oh my goodness gracious!
But when it comes to not only success on the court, but bridging the gap between America and the continent, Hall of Famer Dikembe Mutombo is the king of Africa.
When you come in near somebody, you gotta make sure he cannot go near your defender.
What did basketball do for you?
They have done a lot. They have changed my life personally. They have changed the life of my family. They have changed the life of my continent. As Madiba said, that sport have a power to change the world. Sport have a power to change our community. And through the game of basketball.
He's a global ambassador for us, but his presence here means so much because he is what, when young Africans look up to, they look up to Dikembe because he did it. He did it at the highest level. Him, Hakeem Olajuwon, those guys actually paved the way for the Pascal Siakams, the Joel Embiids, and the young African players that are coming into our league today.
In 1996, the Congo native covered the expenses for his home country's women's national basketball team's trip to the Atlanta Games. Mutombo opened a $29 million hospital in 2009 near the Congo's capital city of Kinshasa, where 7.5 million people live in poverty.
people in Congo was able to see the brand new hospital that was built for them. After more than 45 years, people was be able to see a brand new school that was built for the kids because of the game of basketball. Sport didn't just give me a gift of talent to block shot.
Mutombo terminates it.
It allowed me to connect to the rest of the world and to go and make a difference. And that's what we are doing.
He truly is a legend. You see the reverence when he walks through Africa, and I've been all over the continent with him, the reverence that people have for him, not just because of what he did on the court, but because of what he's done in communities.
I live in a world surrounded with people from different culture, different languages. We still have a long way to go, but we need to put our resources together to make sure the future of the next generation are bright.
Anscape's Mark Spears joins us now. And Mark, you've spent a lot of time with Mutombo over the years. Yes. You've grown close with his family. What more can you tell us about his condition?
Well, first of all, Dikembe is probably the greatest ambassador that the NBA has ever had globally. Yeah. He's touched so many people. Even Nelson Mandela once came up to him and said, thank you for what you're doing for Africa. But, you know, the world cares about what's going on with him right now. And, you know, we're trying to do the best to respect his family's privacy wishes. But this is a very, very serious situation with Dikembe. And a source close to him told me he's getting the best help available. So continue to pray for him. So Dikembe needs the world that he's loved so much. He needs the world's prayers, best wishes, whatever you want to give his way. He certainly needs it right now.
Certainly all of those of us at NBA Today, we've had Dikembe on the show. He's such a warm person around.
Get better, big fella.
We are thinking of him right now. Mark, thank you. NBA Today, we'll be back in 60 seconds. The NBA season is just about here. On Wednesday night, the NBA on ESPN returns. The Knicks will be taking on the Grizzlies. NBA Countdown gets it all started. And the Mavs taking on the Suns. That is Wednesday at 10 p.m. on ESPN. All right, so before we look ahead to the regular season, let's take a look back at a little bit top of the top from preseason. We're going to do top dimes. We start with one Mr. Derrick Rose.
Oh, okay.
Okay, buckets.
Like all right, yeah, look. It wouldn't make his highlights, but it's good to see. It's good to see
that's
the OG,
nice.
Right? Oh, behind
that's
the ear.
A tough no look.
I was always taught if you throw a ball behind someone's ear, they can't ever get to it.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then.
Woo!
This guy is going to be fun.
Talent.
Watch out.
You know why?
No, it's not it's not because of Arizona.
Yeah, it's because of Arizona.
Well, not Ja Morant. Oh,
that guy's always fun.
Yeah.
He's going to be so much fun to watch this year. And Obi Toppin, making a name for himself.
Straight up doing dunk contests in the middle of actual NBA games.
And
ridiculous.
You know what, Zach? I love it.
Get
that
money.
Is what
get
I love.
The dunk contest.
Oh,
snatched.
You're some grown man.
Jaden, get used
come
to
on,
that.
Come on, Jaden.
That duo right there, Cunningham and Ivy.
Now, Jaden, I want to tell you this, young fella. Be careful when you start playing against some grown men that aren't OKC doing that.
Oh, okay, because then
just let
that,
him live.
I'm letting
that
him
can happen.
Advice.
Oh, my goodness, yeah. Mr. Drummond.
That's a good block. Like,
oh, and he's a little scared
look back at him. That's what I said. That's a grown man. That's different
that
than OKC.
True.
Well, and then we have the Clippers.
That's fun.
That's
oh, yeah. Yes.
I want
welcome back, John Wall.
This
one right here.
Oh, no.
I can't watch again.
Yesterday's price ain't today's price.
Big facts.
And then here we go. Oh no!
Ice
oh, Bobby!
Ice Tray goes global.
You got no.
You
got
oh,
Bobby! Too far out.
Wait, more? There's more.
Yeah, there better be more.
Now.
Yeah, that's fine. I don't care. You go between my legs. If you don't get a bucket, you don't do any of that stuff. Like, I'm not defending between my legs.
Let's go ahead to top posters of the preseason. Ooh. This.
Oh,
that
yes,
was tough.
Yes.
In.
Okay. Collins is one of those.
Brook Lopez
bring it
doesn't
here.
Care. Brook Lopez doesn't care.
Yeah.
Oh, lefty.
With the left, Sabonis.
Again, it's good that the Sacramento Kings have an all-star.
That was the dunk of the
look at his eyes.
Look at his face.
Look at his eyes.
He knows. He saw what he was going for.
I'm about to catch me a body. That's what he was doing right there. Get yourself a body, young fella.
And he did. And that was the top of preseason. But can you believe we are just one day away from the season tipping? Zach, what are you most excited about?
how wide open it is. We talked about it before. There's like at least six, maybe more teams who can say we got a real chance to win the title. That was not the case for a lot of years, especially when Durant was in Golden State. Let's go. One more day.
One more day. Three more hours. 32 minutes. 4, 3 seconds are ticking down. What about you, Richard?
I don't know what on earth Zach is talking about. If the Golden State Warriors are healthy with the roster that they have, what we've seen from Wiseman, the growth of Kuminga, like what they got with Dante DiVincenzo, there is no team out there that had – what were you saying?
You're taking Warriors over field?
Over
You're
field.
That high on the Warriors?
You're taking the Warriors
healthy,
over the
if
field.
They
oh
stay healthy, if they stay healthy,
that's like
they
the, are that the best team. Like 50 different
No,
teams.
That's not true. If every
well,
team, if there's not one single injury in the entire NBA this year, not one single injury, the Warriors have the best
oh,
team.
Oh, that will definitely happen.
Well, that's going to happen. But that's what I'm saying. That's why I'm taking
scenario.
The Warriors over the field. I think they're the best team.
Wow.
Death, everything.
Even though Giannis is in the field, Kevin Durant is in the field.
Okay, have you seen Steph Curry?
I'm just being clear.
I'm taking the Warriors, I agree, as favorites. Okay. But I'm not saying that no one else in the field can have a championship.
No, this is not the KD type Warriors. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about they are the best team and then there's everyone else.
Okay, so you're – wait, but I thought you were taking – wasn't it just last week you were taking the Clippers?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, well, I – yeah.
Oh, she don't flip-flop. She don't flip-flop.
No. I didn't say I was taking the Clippers, but I said this is the year that they – what you say it best, Zach. What do we say about the Clippers?
The biggest year in the history of the franchise. The year that –
exactly. So I'm acknowledging that this is a year that they have to win, but I'm not saying that they're likely to win. I'm saying that the Warriors are likely to win at this point.
And you're not
But Giannis and the Bucks – are contenders as well.
And you're not counting on Orlando Magic.
Yeah, but I do think the Warriors are the favorites this season. What do you think, Malika?
I'm going to stick by what I said last week when Chinee and I both said we were going with the Clippers. I'm not going to back down from that. I may be proven wrong, but I'm not going to back down from that. Richard, why are you giving me that look?
Because you're going to try and say it's
Clippers. Guess what? Guess what, guys? Tomorrow, do you know what tomorrow is? Other than the beginning of the season?
Ring
it's also our
ring
one year anniversary of
Let's
NBA
go.
Today.
Let's work it out here.
I saw too much of that.
No more making up stuff to talk about.
I really saw you twerk, Richard. Please.